When it was night, the princess left her own apartment for Aladdin's palace, with his mother on her left hand carried in a superb litter, followed by 100 women slaves dressed with surprising magnificence. All the bands of music, which had played from the time Aladdin's mother arrived, being joined together, led the procession, followed by 100 state ushers, and the like number of black eunuchs, in two files, with their officers at their head. 400 of the Sultan's young pages carried flambeaux on each side, which, together with the illuminations of the Sultan's and Aladdin's palaces, made it as light as day. At length the princess arrived at the new palace, and Aladdin ran with all imaginable joy to receive her at the grand entrance. His mother had taken care to point him out to the princess in the midst of the officers who surrounded him, and she was charmed with his person. "Adorable princess," said Aladdin, accosting her and saluting her respectfully as soon as she had entered her apartment, "if I have the misfortune to have displeased you by my boldness in aspiring to the position of so lovely a creature, I must tell you that you ought to blame your bright eyes and charms, not me."
"Prince," answered the princess, "I am obedient to the will of my father, and it is enough for me to have seen you to tell you that I obey without reluctance."
Aladdin, charmed with so agreeable an answer, would not keep the princess standing, but took her by the hand, which he kissed with the greatest demonstration of joy, and led her into a large hall illuminated with an infinite number of wax candles, where, by the care of the genie, a noble feast was served up. The dishes were of massy gold, and contained the most delicate viands, and all the other ornaments and embellishments of the hall were answerable to this display. The princess, dazzled to see so much riches, said to Aladdin,
"I thought, prince, that nothing in the world was so beautiful as the Sultan my father's palace, but the sight of this hall alone is sufficient to show I was deceived."
Then Aladdin led the princess to the place appointed for her, and as soon as she and his mother were seated, a band of the most harmonious instruments, accompanied with the voices of beautiful ladies, began a concert, which lasted without intermission to the end of the repast. The princess was so charmed that she declared she had never heard anything like it in the Sultan her father's court. But she knew not that these musicians were fairies chosen by the genie, the slaves of the lamp. When the supper was ended, there entered a company of female dancers, who performed, according to the custom of the country, several figure dances, singing at the same time verses in praise of the bride and bridegroom. About midnight, the happy pair retired to their apartments, and the nuptial ceremonies were at an end. The nearer the Sultan approached Aladdin's palace, the more he was struck with its beauty, but was much more amazed when he entered it, and could not forbear breaking out into exclamations of approbation. But when he came into the hall and cast his eyes on the windows, enriched with diamonds, rubies, emeralds, all large perfect stones, he was so much surprised that he remained some time motionless. After he recovered himself, he said to his vizier, "Is it possible that there should be such a stately palace so near my own, and I be an utter stranger to it till now?"
"Sir," replied the Grand Vizier, "your Majesty may remember that the day before yesterday you gave Aladdin, whom you accepted for a son-in-law, leave to build a palace opposite your own, and that very day, at sunset, there was no palace on this spot. But yesterday I had the honour first to tell you that the palace was built and finished."
"I remember," replied the Sultan,
"but never imagined that the palace was one of the wonders of the world. For where in all the world besides shall we find walls built of massy gold and silver, instead of brick, stone, or marble, and diamonds, rubies, and emeralds composing the windows?"
The Sultan would examine and admire the beauty of all the windows, and counting them, found that there were but 23 so richly adorned, and he was greatly astonished that the 24th was left imperfect.
"Vizier," said he, for that minister made a point of never leaving him, "I am surprised that a hall of this magnificence should be left thus imperfect."
"Sir," replied the Grand Vizier, "without doubt Aladdin only wanted time to finish this window like the rest,
for it is not to be supposed but that he had sufficient jewels for the purpose, or that he will not complete it at the first opportunity."
Aladdin, who had left the Sultan to go and give some orders, returned just as the vizier had finished his remark. "Son," said the Sultan to him, "this hall is the most worthy of admiration of any in the world. There is only one thing that surprises me, which is to find one of the windows unfinished. Is it from the forgetfulness or negligence of the workmen, or want of time, that they have not put the finishing stroke to so beautiful a piece of architecture?"
"Sir," answered Aladdin, "it was for none of these reasons that your majesty sees it in this state. The omission was by design. It was by my orders that the workmen left it thus, since I wished that your majesty should have the glory of finishing this hall."
"If you did it with this intention," replied the Sultan, "I take it kindly, and will give orders about it immediately." He accordingly sent for the most considerable jewelers and goldsmiths in his capital. Aladdin then conducted the Sultan into the saloon where he had regaled his bride the preceding night. The princess entered immediately afterward, and received her father with an air that showed how much she was satisfied with her marriage. Two tables were immediately spread with the most delicious meats, all served up in gold dishes. The Sultan was much pleased with the cookery, and owned he had never eaten anything more excellent. He said the same of the wines, which were delicious. But what he most of all admired were four large buffets, profusely furnished with large flagons, basins, and cups, all of massy gold, set with jewels. When the Sultan rose from table, he was informed that the jewelers and goldsmiths attended, upon which he returned to the hall and showed them the window, which was unfinished.
"I sent for you," said he, "to fit up this window in as great perfection as the rest. Examine well, and make all the dispatch you can."
The jewelers and goldsmiths examined the 23 windows with great attention, and after they had consulted together, they returned and presented themselves before the Sultan, when the principal jeweler, undertaking to speak for the rest, said,
"Sir, we are all willing to exert our utmost care and industry to obey your majesty, but among us all we cannot furnish jewels enough for so great a work."
"I have more than are necessary," said the Sultan. "Come to my palace, and you shall choose what may answer your purpose."
When the Sultan returned to his palace, he ordered his jewels to be brought out, and the jewelers took a great quantity, particularly those Aladdin had made him a present of, which they soon used, without making any great advance in their work. They came again several times for more, and in a month's time had not finished half their work. In short, they used all the jewels the Sultan had and borrowed of the vizier, but yet the work was not half done. Aladdin, who knew that all the Sultan's endeavours to make this window like the rest were in vain, sent for the jewelers and goldsmiths, and not only commanded them to desist from their work, but ordered them to undo what they had begun, and to carry all their jewels back to the Sultan and to the vizier. They undid in a few hours what they had been 6 weeks about, and retired, leaving Aladdin alone in the hall. He took the lamp, which he carried about him, rubbed it, and presently the genie appeared.
"Genie," said Aladdin, "I ordered thee to leave one of the 24 windows of this hall imperfect, and thou hast executed my commands punctually. Now I would have thee make it like the rest."
The genie immediately disappeared. Aladdin went out of the hall, and returning soon after, found the window like the others.